The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Do you ever feel stuck on a hamster wheel, constantly running but getting nowhere? The secret is actually quite simple. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place. Personally and professionally. It's time to get unstuck, reclaim your personal power, and recapture your zest for living. Now, here's your host, Deborah Jane Wells.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening. This is Deborah Jane Wells. Thanks for tuning in to our show. Today's theme is Lessons in Living, Part 1 of 2, Foundation. Through my writing, speaking, singing, radio show, and signature coaching programs, I help individuals and organizations learn to harness the transformative power of love to get unstuck and step into their greatness. When you choose to stop living as a victim of circumstance and fear-based limiting beliefs, and instead embrace the transformative power of loving yourself unconditionally, your experience shifts from breakdown to breakthrough. Choosing to fuel yourself with constructive core energy based in love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude produces a life of generous, effortless, gracious flow filled with faith, hope, prosperity, peace, and joy. Choosing love as your core energy changes everything, your perceptions, opportunities, relationships, and priorities. When love transforms your relationship with yourself, it can't help but transform your personal life, your work, and the world. This week is the first of two episodes in which I share the complete set of 11 lessons in living from my book, Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life, released by Hay House Balboa Press in June 2013. Today's show encompasses the lessons of hope, courage, and triumph shared in chapters 1, 2, and 8. They are based on deeply personal stories from my life and my clients' lives and offer a glimpse of the lessons each of us learned about the life transformation that's possible when you fall in love with yourself unconditionally. In this first segment, I share my own story from Chapter 1, The Lesson of Hope. If despite a lifetime of diligence and hard work, you feel you are still searching for something that remains just beyond your grasp, then you, my friend, may be stuck in the hamster wheel approach to life. Hamster wheel people don't give up. They will die trying to deliver the goods. You may think you want a better job, more satisfying relationship, or healthier body. In reality, your restlessness isn't about your income, your relationships, or your looks. It's about feeling incomplete. As a life coach and Reiki master, I'm in the business of liberation. I help people escape the self-imposed prison of the hamster wheel. For many years, their stories were my story, and they may be your story as well, but they don't have to be. There is hope for getting off the wheel and living a life you love. It all starts with embracing the amazing and liberating possibility that the love of your life just might be you. If you are like many others, you may doubt that falling in love with yourself is even possible, let alone powerful. I assure you, it is. To help you begin to accept that you too have the power to embrace this reality, I will share with you the short version of my own personal story of transformation, the story of what happened in my own life when I finally fell in love with myself. Mine is an all too common tale. Too many years on the wheel resulted in utter exhaustion and despair. I was the classic successful type A overachiever, sensible, driven, hardworking, and financially secure, someone you could always count on to get the job done. I began life in 1954 with a question mark over my head. Back then, medicine could not assure the survival of an Rh factor baby. Some required many blood transfusions. I was one of the fortunate few who needed just one. Instead of perceiving my survival as a blessing and a gift, early on I concluded that I had to pack each day with output because I was, after all, operating on borrowed time and someone else's blood. My response to a gift of grace was a lifelong marathon of trying to prove myself worthy through productivity. prove myself I did. Along the way, I earned a full scholarship to college and graduated summa cum laude in 3 years. Sounds great, but at what price? Anorexic, ulcer-ridden, and clinically depressed by age 19, I thought I had to re-earn my right to be here every day. To be worthy and safe, I had to control every aspect of my life, always pushing, always moving, always working, always doing. Looking back, I now realize that when I chose the following couplet from Sarah Teasdale's poem Dust as the caption for my college yearbook picture, even at age 21, I already knew somewhere deep in my soul that this way of living was a very slippery slope. Sarah writes, I almost gave my life long ago for a thing that has gone to dust now, stinging my eyes. It is strange how often a heart must be broken before the years can make it wise. Although I was usually a quick learner, it would require 3 more decades of experience before I was finally compelled to act on that inner wisdom. Meanwhile, the world kept right on rewarding my perfectionism and incessant productivity. Fresh out of college, I got a job in management consulting, making partner in my first firm at the age of 30. Over the next 30 years, I served as a senior partner in 4 of the world's largest and most prestigious global professional services firms. I had some wonderful times in that career. I traveled all over the world, mentored young people, and knew the satisfaction of doing good work. But even the most committed and productive individuals can shift from frustration to a sense of futility when their values, passion, work, and lives become disconnected. After decades of working nonstop, with little attention to my personal health and welfare, my soul and my role had become increasingly separated, leaving me feeling disillusioned and betrayed by the very life I'd created. One of the problems with not taking care of our health is that the effects of ignoring it are often slow to show up. We continue to juggle family responsibilities, work, and finances until we lose ourselves, waking up one day 50 pounds heavier in body and soul, no good to ourselves or anyone else. It's no surprise that during the final years of my consulting career, morbid obesity and profound depression defeated me daily. This led me to conclude that my only hope of escaping the rat race that was slowly killing me was to get it over with once and for all. The great irony was that while I started out feeling afraid I'd die if I didn't keep working all the time, I ended up knowing I would eventually kill myself if I couldn't find another way to make the pain stop. Yet as unbelievable as it may sound, today, in my late 50s, I find myself in the best health of my entire life. While I still have ups and downs, my days are permeated with deep peace, lasting joy, and meaningful relationships. These great blessings are the result of a journey to wholeness that began in 2005, when I retired from consulting. At that time, I was neither fit nor motivated to start another career. Though I completed a couple of graduate courses with the intention of starting my own organization consulting firm, I found myself too burned out to pursue it seriously. For the first time in my life, I had no clear plan for my future, just the knowledge that I would have to find a way to heal my self-esteem and restore my mental and physical health, even to have a future. In autumn 2006, when my son left for college, my husband and I moved from Virginia to Colorado, believing a dramatic change of scenery might provide a nurturing climate for my healing. Inspired by Julia Cameron's book, The Artist's Way, and still a consultant at heart, I embarked on a path of self-healing involving rediscovering the artistic joys of my youth while facilitating groups around artistic recovery and discovery. In the process, I began teaching art privately on a small scale. Though I loved my work, the expenses of my small business substantially exceeded my income. Morbid obesity and profound depression persisted. In a 5-week period during the spring of 2008, my cat, my father, and my beloved pottery mentor died, adding the challenge of overwhelming grief to my daily mix. Meanwhile, my husband had been trying to find work locally. After 2 years with no luck, we jumped at the chance for him to take a temporary 90-day job back in Washington, D.C., making money doing work he loved. The 90-day assignment stretched to 3 years, with week-long visits home every 3 to 6 months. I remember the day his car pulled out of our drive as if it were yesterday. While I was supportive of our decision, I was both excited and anxious about living alone for the first time in my life. I had always assumed the role of perfectionist, caretaker, and confidant, first in my family of origin, then again in every relationship, job, and household. Who was I if there was no one else for me to take care of? The universe definitely has a sense of humor. There I was, living alone at the age of 55, with responsibility for the only person in my life that I'd never taken care of, myself. I spent the first 4 months hating being alone and bemoaning all the things I didn't like about my life. Then one day, in a rare moment of clarity, I received a divine download. You can spend the next year making yourself miserable over all the things you can't control, or you can see this as an opportunity. Is there anything that's completely within your control, and if you achieved it in the next year, would plant joy firmly in your soul, no matter what your other circumstances might be? My response? I have got to lose this weight. The most incredible journey of my life began in that simple moment of grace. My journey to wholeness started with regaining a sense of control over my physical care, what I ate, and how I exercised. Losing 80 pounds and keeping it off is the part of the story that many people respect and even envy. But that was just the tip of the iceberg. If all I accomplished were to change my body through healthy eating and exercise, I would have stopped far short of the wholeness I was seeking. I had my next life-transforming realization 40 pounds into my 80-pound weight loss, high on healthy fuel, cardio-induced beta endorphins, and the thrill of, once again, being able to do something I set my mind to. While a healthy diet and significant daily exercise were necessary factors, they were only the price of admission to attaining the life of deep peace, lasting joy, and meaningful relationships I desired. Once I understood that excess physical weight is often just a symbol for excess spiritual weight, I realized finding wholeness is not primarily about losing body fat. It involves caring enough about myself to create an environment in which I nourish and cherish all aspects of myself. With this realization, the universe tapped me on the shoulder once again. The key to living a life you love is to feed all of your senses in a balanced way, so no one sense will take over trying to fill voids it can never hope to fill. I got the broader insight into this download another 20 pounds later. Sensory balance doesn't just apply to the five outer senses through which we celebrate our external world, but also to the four inner senses of creativity, vitality, spirituality, and belonging, through which we imbue our experience with meaning. As one who suffered anorexia at age 19 and obesity at age 50, I believe both have their roots in an unhealthy relationship with food, trying to use food to fill unfood needs. For me, both were ways of coping with anxiety, misguided attempts to feel safe by creating the illusion of control over a life spinning madly out of control. The major reason many of us can't sustain the positive results of diet and exercise is that most programs do not get to the root issue, an imbalance in the care and feeding of our souls. I learned to pay attention to how I am feeding all of my senses, content and frequency, and whether each is being starved, smothered, or healthily sustained. While my weight loss certainly involved more mindful and nutritious eating as well as regular exercise, the degree of success and ability to sustain a healthier, happier, more harmonious lifestyle was much more dependent on balanced feeding of all nine senses. Through daily self-reflection and written meditation, I started to recognize and adjust my sensory imbalances. In the process, I realized that the most important element in manifesting the life of my dreams was a stronger bond between my source and myself. Through the power of that synergy, I found more meaningful relationships with everyone and everything. Prolonged isolation gave me the opportunity to work on the relationship I had neglected my entire life, the relationship with myself. Stripped of my habitual pattern of avoiding my own needs and feelings by focusing on caring for others, I finally understood that loving and taking care of myself is one of the greatest gifts I can ever give myself or anyone else. Because when I nurture and cherish myself, my very presence encourages and supports others. When I'm not taking care of myself, I'm not able to give my best to anyone or anything. I may put on a good show, but it will be a pale imitation of the real thing. Where did these insights take me? Over a period of 2 years, I shifted from taking good care of myself to falling in love with myself. When I fell in love with myself, everything else in my life finally fell into place. The transformation was so profound, I could literally feel my soul and role reuniting in a new form. No longer a hamster trapped on a wheel, but a vibrant, joyful, fully engaged woman. I said goodbye to obesity, along with a 10-year bout of debilitating chronic depression, and said hello to life. At this point in my story, you may well ask, what would falling in love with myself look like? Remember the last time you fell in love with someone else? How did you treat the object of your affection? You probably thought about him a lot, paid attention to his needs, and treated him as if he mattered, because to you that person did matter. He mattered a great deal. In fact, you probably became downright obsessed with every aspect of your beloved. Falling in love with yourself looks just like that, paying attention and treating yourself as if you matter, because you do. You matter a great deal. You are a unique co-creative expression of the divine. You are the only you we've got. You are a precious natural resource not to be taken for granted. As I lived my new commitment to loving myself, I discovered that my sense of equanimity and fulfillment were greatest when I fueled my core energy in constructive and loving ways, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. But as I worked more deeply with the concept of love, I found the term to be nebulous, tricky, and easy to misunderstand. With experience, I was able to increase the clarity of my intention to love myself by adding the attributes of respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude. I discovered the following. Approaching myself and my life, every being, encounter, and experience with love, respect, curiosity, and compassion always reveals and advances the highest good. Moment by moment, I know where, how, and when to invest my energy to move myself forward on my journey to wholeness. Maintaining a belief in abundance and an attitude of gratitude anchors each moment in a sense of generous, effortless, gracious flow, a life of freedom centered in being, not doing. Most surprising, important, and delightful of all, when I fall in love with myself again and again, everything else in my life really does just fall into place. The result? I discovered my purpose gradually by committing myself to unwavering self-awareness grounded in cherishing myself unconditionally. As I did so, I came to understand that despite balance sheet evidence to the contrary, I hadn't failed at making a living with my art. I had instead received a much more precious gift. I had saved a life, my own, through my art. By creating a life worth living, I had learned the art of living, enjoying the journey. My own life is my greatest creative work. The journey that began with transforming my own life shifted naturally into meaningful work as a life coach and Reiki master, through which I help others discover that health, peace, and joy are possible for them as well. If it's possible for me, it's possible for anyone. If any of us is worthy of such a life, we all are. I close this chapter of my story where I began. Mine is a story of hope. Yours can be too. Fall in love with yourself and live the life you dream of. You are worth the effort. For more insights into everyday approaches to loving yourself, read The Art of Extreme Self-Care by Cheryl Richardson. We're going to stop there and take a quick break, and we'll be back in 2 minutes.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at DJWLifeCoach.com and click on the current offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up, fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the Current Offers tab on djwlifecoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between, discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/voiceamerica or search for us at keyword Voice America.
You are listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to Deborah at djwlifecoach.com. Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
Hi, everyone. This is Deborah again. Welcome back to our show. In the previous segment, I shared my own story of transformation, the lesson of hope, as told in Chapter 1 of my book, Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life, released by Hay House Balboa Press in June 2013. In this segment, I'll continue sharing lessons of hope, courage, and triumph from chapters 2 and 8 based on deeply personal stories from my clients' lives that offer glimpses of the lessons they learned about the life transformation that's possible when you fall in love with yourself unconditionally. Chapter 2, The Lesson of the Oxygen Mask. Flight attendants instruct us on every flight that should an oxygen mask drop down in front of us, we must put on our own mask before attempting to help anyone else. That seems selfish and counterintuitive for most of us. First, we want to help our child, parent, spouse, or frightened seatmate. It can be difficult to accept the fact that we will not be able to help anyone else if we run out of oxygen ourselves. We might be more likely to accept the truth if the flight attendants painted a picture of what could happen if we don't put on our own masks first. Imagine a scenario in which you are traveling on a plane that develops engine trouble. Suddenly, oxygen masks drop down, and your seatmate just stares at his, frozen with panic, while precious seconds tick by. If you choose to ignore the flight attendant's instructions and struggle to get a mask on a panicked person first, in a plane that may well be unstable, you might wait just a bit too long to take care of your own mask. At that point, you are no good to yourself or anyone else. Suppose instead that you recognize the common sense in the flight attendant's instructions. You decide it's not just okay, but essential to take care of yourself first and only then assist your fellow traveler. Once you have your seatmate settled, you glance across the aisle and notice someone else frozen with panic. You reach across, help them, and then motion for them to help the next person over. Eventually, you find that you have helped someone who helped someone who, well, you get the idea. When the flight stabilizes and you land safely, you know with every fiber of your being that you have been anything but selfish. Unfortunately, we rarely notice how well the oxygen mask principle applies to everyday life, but does it ever? The parallel is that failure to take care of your own health will inevitably mean you will be unable to care for the ones you love. Though the damage can be slow in showing up, one day you wake up weighed down by a load you can no longer bear. Physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. What if you use the oxygen mask as a symbol of self-awareness in your daily life, sitting right in front of your face at all times? Put it on, breathe deeply, and new choices appear. Not selfish choices, but honest ones that allow you to set priorities that nurture you and those around you on a journey to wholeness. Remember what it felt like to be able to help others on the airplane because you first took care of yourself? As you become increasingly self-aware and able to make constructive choices, you become a positive example for someone else, who becomes a positive example for someone else, and so on. Like the ripples in a pond, your new self-awareness requires no pushing or directing to move outward and touch others. It just happens. My client Lisa feels that the most important changes she has made in her life through coaching with me are self-awareness, living with intention, and having compassion for herself. She has also lost 30 pounds, but in her words, the weight lost is just the outer indication of significant inner change. When I was introduced to Deborah, I had been putting in 13 and 14-hour days establishing myself in a new profession while caring for my dying mother. I was overweight with my body and spirit stretched to the limit. That seemed normal because for me, hard work has always been both a joy and a legacy. Lisa's mother was raised in a small coal mining town where they grew their own food or they didn't eat. Recreation as we know it didn't exist. Growing up as the oldest of 10 children, Lisa's mother shined in her daughter's eyes as the greatest role model any girl could have. Her mother's young life consisted of washing the clothes and working in the company store. Over the years, Lisa watched her mom always do the right thing. She was the person Lisa wanted to be. Unlike my mother, I was blessed with greater bounty. My parents worked all the time, and we would never have gone hungry. But my brother and I worked side by side with my parents and were fulfilled by knowing that our work could help support the family too. Looking back, it shouldn't surprise me that my parents' legacy of unending hard work became the bedrock of my life as well. Over time, I became a life coach committed to helping others integrate the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual aspects of their lives. I quickly discovered that even coaches need coaches. In our first session, Lisa told me she wanted to lose weight. Little did she know that physical weight loss would be the smallest part of what she gained from our work together, a byproduct rather than an end in itself. She says, "The larger lesson was becoming sufficiently self-aware and detached to see that I needed to start by having greater compassion for myself. Deborah helped me realize how the negative energy of my relentless inner taskmistress was weighing me down and holding me back from the joy-filled life of service I desired. Many people tell us that we should take care of ourselves, but how can I manage to have compassion for myself when my beloved mother is dying? How can I do what I need to do for my mother and still embrace the hurting self who can't imagine who she will be without her mother?" Only when Lisa could detach and begin to see herself from the outside was she able to embrace the grieving part of herself who was eating for comfort. None of her past diets had taught her that. Until she began to get it, meaningful, lasting change was unlikely. By serving as a loving mirror, listening deeply, trusting my intuition, and asking penetrating questions, I was able to help Lisa get past the distraction of her external body weight to see the root of her unhappiness, the unbearable weight her heart and soul were carrying on the inside. Lisa says, "Today I eat and live with greater intention. I've lost 30 pounds. There is vitality and light in my life even as I rework my priorities and commitments to ensure that my mother's final days are as peaceful and as filled with love and comfort as I can make them." To demonstrate real compassion for others, I had to first put on my own oxygen mask and have some compassion for myself. For more insights into the role of self-compassion, read Start Where You Are by Pema Chodron. Chapter 8, The Lesson of the Blocks. Have you ever watched a baby or a toddler play with a stack of blocks? For a child, they experience is sheer delight. They are free to pile them up, change them, rearrange them, or dump them in a heap if that is their pleasure. Adult blocks are a very different matter. Most of the barriers to pursuing and achieving our desires in life are not caused by immovable external blocks, but by inner blocks formed from limiting beliefs we have manufactured for ourselves or assimilated from others. Many of our limiting beliefs were acquired from constraints imposed by our country, culture, religion, family, or the media. We created other limitations as a result of our own lack of imagination, shortage of curiosity, or insufficiently healed past traumas. Gremlins are an especially strong form of limiting beliefs exhibited by members of our personal board of directors. Though the specific origins vary, all of these limiting beliefs share a common energetic source, fear. When we choose to fuel ourselves with more constructive core energy grounded in love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude, we can eliminate our fear-based limiting beliefs and transform our lives into the more fulfilling ones we long for. I first met my client Diana during my career as an organization transformation consultant. When she reconnected with me again more than 20 years later, she was struggling under the weight of a diverse and robust collection of inner blocks. She didn't call them that. She just knew she was unhappy and couldn't see a way out. One of the most serious assumptions in Diana's collection was the firm belief that you only get one chance at success. Even though she had been successful in many different jobs and had run a small business for years, she believed that she was always just one mistake away from setting off a chain reaction of relentless failures of cataclysmic proportions, at least in her own mind. Her failure wouldn't be an event. She would be a failure. People who bear the burden of this assumption go through life looking for some insurance, someone or something to protect them from making the ultimate mistake. They may decide that the answer is taking more courses, securing another professional credential, or partnering with someone else who appears more self-assured, but may turn out to be more confident than competent. Grasping at straws, the Dianas of the world reach outside themselves to another person, thing, or experience to find a sense of security and peace. I thought that I'd finally found my silver bullet, Diana said. After years of running my small business, the economy tanked and I was having trouble keeping it all going, until a friend and colleague suggested that perhaps we should set up a new business and operate as partners. I was thrilled. I held this woman in high regard and thought she would be the perfect protection against my destiny of making the one unrecoverable mistake. By the time I started coaching with Deborah, my wonderful partner safety net had turned into an albatross. Unable to make a decision or move forward, my partner took analysis paralysis to a whole new level. I could only conclude that I must have made a grotesque mistake in my calculations somewhere. When I talked to Deborah about the situation, it had already been going on for months. Absolutely nothing was getting done. My fear was many times larger than it had been when at a minimum I could count on myself and did not have to wait for someone else to test every possible option before making even the smallest decision. At the heart of Diana's fear lay her bag-light lady gremlin with its one-mistake assumption. She had little chance of escaping when that conversation began playing in her head. Instead of enjoying her life, she was working like a lunatic, trying to stave off disaster. She was wearing herself out with no understanding of what was driving her. She said, "I couldn't get out of my own way," telling me that in spite of all the evidence to the contrary, working with this partner was her one chance for success. She just had to keep trying to make it work, however improbable that now seemed. Eventually, I asked the question that has become Diana's mantra. How can you know that? How can you be sure that this partnership is your one and only chance for success? In the silence that followed, I asked again ever so gently, what if you're mistaken? What if you have lots of other possibilities for success, maybe even better ones? What if your dogged persistence in your current incredibly painful situation is not fueled by courage but by fear? What if you're the only one keeping you from exploring and enjoying the life you long for? In that moment, Diana remembered what Austrian neurologist, psychiatrist, and Holocaust survivor Viktor Frankl said. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. The work Diana has done and continues to do has opened that space for her in so many situations. Space in which she asks herself questions and shows herself compassion. Space in which she can challenge a gremlin, recognize a limiting belief, or simply take a deep breath. It's an amazing thing how much change you can achieve when you shift your energy and begin the work of building the life you want to live, Diana said. While I'm still working on it, I no longer worry about money, failure, and bag ladyhood before I even open my eyes in the morning. I'm excited about where I can go from here and know that Deborah can continue to help me find the peace and joy that can make my life sing. Though I still have plenty of work to do, I have learned to say, you can't know that, whenever a limiting belief or gremlin rears its head. I know that my willingness to do the work is essential to success, but I also know that when you are on a difficult journey, it is wise to have a guide who knows the way. Equipped with greater self-awareness, a broader sense of possibilities, and a stronger belief in herself, Diana dissolved her business partnership and headed off in a new direction with her own firm. She even decided to move to a place where she would have the ability to spend more time with family and take her life in new directions. All of this was fueled by the inspiration, vitality, and determination she unleashed when she stopped wasting her energy in fear, worry, and doubt. Diana is living proof of Eddie Robinson's assertion. The will to win, the desire to succeed, the urge to reach your full potential, these are the keys that will unlock the door to personal excellence. For more insights into the power of belief, read The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. We're going to stop there and take a short break, and we'll be back in 2 minutes with more.
Stay connected.
Sign up for our newsletter.
Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iRadioBlog.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at DJWLifeCoach.com and click on the Current Offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the Current Offers tab on DJWLifeCoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life. Family caregivers face some tough challenges every day in caring for a partner, parent, child, sibling, friend, neighbor, or even coworker. You are there to provide the care that these people need after everyone else has gone home. Family Caregivers Unite with Dr. Gordon Atherley will provide you with a social networking experience. You'll hear from experts and others who are experiencing the same things, and together you will promote a common cause. Tune in to Family Caregivers Unite twice every week, Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety and on the Voice America Empowerment Channel every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll-free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to Deborah at DJWLifeCoach.com. Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
Hi, Deborah here. Welcome back to our show. We pick up where we left off with two additional lessons of hope, courage, and triumph based on deeply personal client stories as told in Chapter 8 of my book. The Lesson of the Gremlin. What do you think of when you hear the word gremlin? For many, it conjures up an image from childhood nightmares, and one of its definitions is actually boogeyman, the monster lurking under the bed. It didn't start out that way. The origin of the word gremlin is usually credited to pilots in World War II who jokingly blamed mechanical failures on small imaginary monsters they dubbed gremlins. Over time, however, books and movies created some frightening and not so harmless gremlins. However, long before the word gremlin existed, we all had them. We just didn't know it. In Chapter 6, we talked at some length about the tendency of your personal board members to exhibit their gremlin personas when gripped by fear. The term gremlin is used as a metaphor for a part of us that is neither inherently evil nor intentionally harmful, but has a deeply rooted pattern of behavior triggered by our oldest, most painful scenarios and a deep need to protect ourselves by any means necessary. Our board members take their jobs very seriously. When they first give birth to their gremlin personas, their mission is simple: to protect us from ever again experiencing painful or embarrassing situations. As we get older and our lives become more complex, our board members see that many situations, while different in details, offer the same opportunity for pain. As their fears continue to grow, so do the possibilities for gremlin interference by board members who expand their job definition to include any situation or person who could ever lead to discomfort. Talk about limiting our world. The great irony is that when in the grip of fear, gremlins will do whatever it takes, including some very underhanded tactics, in order to protect us from the potential danger out there. In this way, they become the enemy within. Some protect us by sabotaging every potentially intimate relationship, thus escaping the risk and joy that intimacy brings. Some protect us by remembering every disappointing new experience in our past, painting every future opportunity with the same brush. A new job might remind your sage, guardian, or muse of situations in the past where an authority figure was frightening, dangerous, or just plain unkind. As a result, its gremlin persona will be on the prowl at every new job, looking for the boss it remembers so well from the past. By leading with the same expectations, we are nearly guaranteed to attract the energy we transmit. As we discovered in Chapter 6, gremlins are the voices of our most deeply embedded fears, with personalities and names all their own. Like the weeds in your garden, effective long-term management of gremlins is not about elimination of surface behaviors. Lopping your gremlins off at the surface with the weed whacker of denial or superficial behavior change may yield a more cosmetic result temporarily, but because they are tenacious and deep-rooted, they usually grow back quickly. And with each failed attempt at superficial removal, they are likely to expand their purview of peril even further. There are more effective and lasting measures we can take to neutralize and redirect our gremlin's relentless, misguided, ever-escalating interference. When we help them pop the bubble of illusion, filled with fear-based lies, and embrace a reality filled with the truth of love-based flow, our personal board members shake off their gremlin personas and return to their constructive roles in our lives. My client Anne worked in a particular job for 9 years but was very unhappy. Despite her best efforts, she kept hitting roadblocks. She knew she was spinning her wheels and was becoming increasingly frustrated. What to do? Stick it out and keep trying? Find another job in the same industry? Or a similar job in a different industry? Or retrain for a totally different kind of job? She tried these and other avenues in the past, and though the surface details differed, she seemed to keep ending up in essentially the same situation. I've never been a quitter. I have always been a person who slogged through whatever muck life threw in my path and tried to make it better, said Anne. I'd begun to wonder if I was just born unlucky, landing in one toxic environment after another, or was it possible that I was getting in my own way? In the midst of this self-examination, Anne's friend Kathleen approached her with an exciting opportunity. Kathleen had decided to semi-retire and said, "I want you to apply for my job." Kathleen was well respected by her employers and by the organization she served as managing partner. Finding herself at a time in her own career when she felt neither valued nor successful, Anne was surprised and flattered that her friend believed she had the leadership qualities the new job required. Kathleen was committed to leaving a much-loved job in trusted hands, Anne's hands. While engaged in internal debate over this job opportunity, Anne learned about my practice of conducting complimentary coaching sessions with prospective clients. She saw that this might be yet another opportunity, the chance to engage a trusted professional partner in confronting head-on whether her frustrations were just bad luck or a pattern of self-sabotage. Anne says, "When I started working with Deborah, I felt drained by all the aggravation that had built up over the years. While there was exhilaration in starting a new job because Kathleen was my friend and had shown such high regard for me, it felt especially important this time to be clear about what I was doing and why. Deborah and I began with a 60-minute complimentary session, during which she coached me on real issues of my choosing. The session was so powerful that I invested in a weekly coaching relationship in the Energy Leadership Index Assessment to give myself a fighting chance at changing my past pattern. Coaching with Deborah using the energy leadership paradigm gave me hope, a new language and a new model for making sense of my life. As she began her journey with me, Anne looked back on the journals she kept over the years and got depressed by reading them. They sounded like a broken record. I call this a gremlin alert. Finding evidence of consistent self-sabotage is a valuable step in recognizing the part a gremlin may be playing in your life. Anne was intrigued by the possibility of making friends with her guardian and its gremlin persona, Sister Mary Perfect, so named for its need to get everything just right. At work, at home, in relationships, or in any other aspect of living. As our coaching sessions progressed from week to week, I brought a great deal of curiosity into the sessions, encouraging Anne's ability to be playful, inquisitive, vulnerable, and respectful toward herself, everyone, and every situation. Anne also began to get clarity about the way in which things she had experienced in the past might be playing out repeatedly in the present. One of the most powerful exercises, according to Anne, was stepping back and looking at the job she had just left to try to find commonalities between that job situation and others, or that job situation and childhood experience. Was there a theme that appeared in each of her life stories? Parallels began to emerge as she thought about family relationships, the role she'd played, and how she had continued to reenact that role as an adult. Perhaps some of her boss's behaviors reminded her of a parent's behavior, creating uncertainty, embarrassment, and internal friction. After our conversations, Anne said she would hang up the phone and simply stare into space, blown away by the power of what she was discovering and feeling. Anne says, "Deborah's intuition and comprehensive notes were invaluable for maintaining continuity from one session to another. Without them, it would have been a much more difficult and lengthy undertaking to put the pieces together and begin to recognize patterns. Week by week, I began seeing myself differently. I came to understand that because life is not a destination but a journey that unfolds, I didn't need to have all the answers in every moment." One of the great gifts Anne has experienced in her new job is the magic that can happen when she stops trying to do everything perfectly herself and instead becomes a consultative, open, and curious manager, offering employees the opportunity to be real contributors to a successful team. Anne says, "Something they'd known with Kathleen and that I have actually succeeded in recreating. My experience of life was transformed once I learned to embrace every moment, curious about all the possibilities rather than scanning for all the tigers in the bushes. A friend recently said to me, 'This is what you've been training for, been waiting for all your life,' and it's true. With Deborah's help, I've embraced my guardian and have been able to see both the good things she brings into my life as well as the challenges she creates whenever, in gremlin mode, she assumes each day or experience is inherently dangerous. It is essential to remember that effective gremlin work can never be forced. It surfaces organically when you are ready. Nowhere is the application of love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude more vital than when engaging the members of your personal board of directors. Remember that their gremlin activity is actually good news. It means you are on the verge of a big breakthrough in personal growth. Your sage, guardian, or muse go gremlin because they are afraid they won't be able to keep you safe when you get that big. Remember the steps to soothing their fears. 1. Seek to understand what old concerns have been brought out of hiding. 2. Help them differentiate the remnants of past pain from today's reality. 3. Remind them that small does not necessarily equal safe for an adult. 4. Clarify that following your authentic path with love and without fear is what safe looks like now. 5. Harness their loyalty. And 6. Leverage their core gifts of discernment, discipline, and imagination to keep moving yourself forward into a life you love. Anne agrees wholeheartedly. It's not as though I had a split personality. Before my gremlin work, like many people, I just had a set of counterproductive behaviors that could be easily triggered by any sense of risk to me. Now I have the self-awareness and objectivity to stop before reacting instinctively and determine whether a new situation is indeed like an old one, or perhaps it's yet another opportunity to expand my horizons and try something new. For more insights into releasing yourself from the limitations of ancient scripts, read Excuses Be Gone by Dr. Wayne W. Dyer. The Lesson of the Butterfly. Throughout the world and throughout time, the butterfly has been a symbol of dramatic transformation, and it's easy to see why. No longer earthbound, a new creature emerges from its chrysalis utterly and completely changed, spreading its glorious wings as if knowing all along it was born to fly. In the words of Maya Angelou, we delight in the beauty of the butterfly, but rarely admit the changes it has gone through to achieve that beauty. Those changes don't begin in the chrysalis. That is just one of many steps on the journey to becoming a butterfly. Once fully grown, the caterpillar seems to know instinctively when it's time to move on. Unlike humans, whose forward movement is often blocked with assumptions and self-doubt, the caterpillar simply does what it was born to do. It positions itself for the next step in its journey. It creates a button of silk to fasten its body to a leaf or twig. Once it attaches itself, the old skin comes off, revealing a hard skin called a chrysalis. Once it is safely within the chrysalis and positioned for change, an extraordinary process begins. Just as the caterpillar knew when it was time to move on to the chrysalis stage, the fledgling butterfly will know when it's time to leave the chrysalis and take flight. It is the same with human beings. The potential for transformation is always there, however hampered we may feel by limiting beliefs and raw fear. In the words of Richard Buckminster Fuller, there is nothing in a caterpillar that tells you it's going to be a butterfly. None of us can know what is possible until we are willing to let go of what no longer serves our highest good and relax into the seeming void of transition. In just such a way, we create the possibility for shedding our personal chrysalises, thereby allowing our lives to take flight. As Richard Bach reminds us, when we trust in the unfolding of our highest good at all times, we find what the caterpillar calls the end of the world, the master calls the butterfly. My client Sarah feels the most important changes she has made in her life are becoming more self-aware and learning how to use that new awareness in all aspects of her life. Sarah says, I started working with Deborah when I was training to become a life coach myself. I had absolute faith in the coaching process and knew that all world-class coaches have coaches of their own. My initial goals for our coaching relationship were focused on optimizing my performance as a coach, what I needed to understand about myself, and how I could leverage my personal insights and experience to partner with my clients on their journeys. I wasn't looking for personal change, just greater professional understanding and perspective. Oh my, be careful what doors you open. The universe will deliver. She goes on to say, one of the coaching insights I gained in our initial sessions was how to leverage my life experience to benefit the client without sharing my personal stories directly. As I saw Deborah keep the focus on my story, not hers, by using her experience to inspire the wise questions she asked me, I knew I could do the same with my clients. As my work with Sarah went deeper, it became obvious that she may not have known herself as well as she thought. In fact, if anyone had said she was a person who had built and maintained a nearly impregnable barrier around herself, she would have said they were mistaken. Yet as we examined her self-awareness, energy, and spirituality together, we identified a pattern of situations where the help and support of others would have made her journey less stressful and more joyful. Like so many of us, Sarah had developed a habit of shutting others out, thinking she was protecting them. Over time, she came to recognize that she was really trying to protect herself by keeping her guard up and staying small, because doing otherwise just felt too big and vulnerable for her. She says, Deborah penetrated that guard by asking gentle, respectful questions, demonstrating the love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude that are the bedrock of her coaching approach. Amazing what some compassionate, probing questions can reveal. A prime example was my divorce. Making the decision to pursue a divorce required a 3 to 4 year journey of deep and agonizing soul searching. During that gut-wrenching process, I told no one and dealt with the pain myself, thinking I was protecting the people I cared about. As Deborah and I uncovered more and more situations and events that might trigger putting my guard up in the future, that weird, uncomfortable feeling in my belly told me we were on to something very big. Life was delivering a major opportunity to stop, contemplate, and act upon what I was learning. With reflection, Sarah began to realize that what she had created was not a supportive chrysalis of transformation, but a barricade of isolation. Butterflies do not experience the chrysalis as a barrier, but as a pathway for growing into who they always were deep inside. They know instinctively it's a nurturing place of profound, transformative growth, from which they emerge in a completely natural way when the time is right. Becoming self-aware brought mixed emotions and took me out of my comfort zone, Sarah said, but replacing the metaphor of a barricade with that of a chrysalis helped me see that the potential for transformation was right there all along and well worth the effort. For more insights into the transformative power of the chrysalis in human experience, read When the Heart Waits by Sue Monk Kidd. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Many thanks to my incredible Voice America production team that keeps me on track and makes this show possible. When you explore my Voice America host page, you'll find more information about upcoming episodes and the nature of life coaching, with opportunities to listen to recordings of past episodes, purchase my book, subscribe to my social media feeds, and sign up for special offers to guide you on your journey to wholeness. This is Deborah Jane Wells signing off for now. Remember, when you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. You are loved and loving, blessed and a blessing. And so it is. Namaste.
Thanks again for listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life. Please rejoin your host, Deborah Jane Wells, again next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's time to get off that hamster wheel and start fulfilling your destiny by creating a life you love.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.